Do you, Chris, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to barrage her with obscure facts concerning comics, movies, TV shows, and toys?
I do.
And Cindy, do you take this man-child to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you promise to humor him by engaging him in his obsessive ramblings, for better or worse, in pre-crisis or in post?
Sure, why not?
Then by the power invested in me by the High Father of the Fourth World, I now pronounce you Supermates. You may podcast with the bride.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Supermates Husband and Wife Geekcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Andrew.
Yes, our son Andrew has joined us again. We tried to get Danny on, but she wouldn't do it, so she's went on. She's too important now because she was actually on Skywalking Through Neverland.
Yes.
And so she won't do our little show anymore. So, you know, that's, you know, we're small potatoes.
I guess so.
So, well, the reason we have Andrew on this episode is we just came back yesterday from our spring break vacation.
Yes.
We decided this year to do spring break as our big vacation.
Yes, because I'm a children's librarian, summer reading is a huge deal. And a summer vacation is just kind of hard for me logistically. So this time we decided to do our big vacation during the spring.
Right. And we wanted to go back to Disney, as seen, as heard in a previous episode where we recapped our fall Disney vacation. I don't even remember what episode. That was way back.
It's been about a year and a half since we've been.
Right, right. We wanted to go back to Disney, but we also wanted to do Universal because we never done Universal before.
Yeah, Universal.
So we decided to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to split it with a 2.5 days at Disney, basically, and 2.5 days at Universal.
Right.
So we drove down, and on the way down, we were able to hook up with the Irredeemable Shag. In Lake City, Florida, and at Sunny's Barbecue, and have a little meet and greet. First time Shag got to meet the rest.
Me, you know, me. That's why he came. That's the reason he drove 2 hours to see me.
The rest of the Franklin bunch.
Shag is awesome.
Yeah, well, there you go. Shag's awesome. Andrew thinks Shag's awesome. So, yes, we were able to meet up with Shag and hang out for a bit and enjoy a nice dinner at Sonny's Barbecue.
Yes.
Very good. And I thought about, you know, trying to record something there, but we just had a good time talking. And I actually thought about recording some while we were at Disney because the folks at Disney Indiana do a great job of recording while they're on rides and attractions and things. And I just never got around to doing that. I was too busy having fun. We will recap our vacation verbally.
Yes.
So we got to meet up with Shag that night, and then the next morning drove the rest of the way to Orlando.
Right. It's about 2.5-3 hours the rest of the way.
Right. Or Kissimmee or whatever they call it. And then the first day we're there, we went to Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we didn't have park tickets for that day, but we had our hotel.
Right.
So we were staying at Pop Century, which I'll get back to in a little bit. And we went to Disney Springs, and I kind of had a little bit of a mission for Disney Springs because right before we left, the Lego Batman Classic 66 Batcave
came out.
This is a huge set that comes with not only the Batcave, but the study part of Wayne Manor. It's got the Batmobile, the Batcopter, Batcycle.
And where the Batcopter lands.
It's got Batman, Robin, Bruce, Dick, Alfred, Joker, Penguin, Catwoman, and Riddler minifigures.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, we found out that you spent so much money, you got a free Mr. Freeze, classic Otto Preminger Mr. Freeze minifigure.
Right.
That thing looks awesome.
So I bought it because Cindy encouraged me to buy it. I feel kind of, it's expensive.
It's the retail on it's $269, and then it's whatever the tax and all that stuff is on top of it.
Right.
But like I told Chris, I said, you know, right before this, we joined the Lego VIP club, which Danny has just really, really gotten into Legos here in the last 6 months. And so we joined the Lego VIP club, and for every $100 you spend, you get $5 off. So Danny bought some stuff while we were down there, too. She bought a Scooby-Doo set and a house and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Brought our total over to a little over $300, so now we've got a $15 store credit.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking, you know, a little discount.
$15, woohoo, after $300. But... Yeah, but, you know, it was cool to see it, you know, to buy it in person.
Exactly.
And they had a display set up.
The bad thing is we went to the Lego store almost first.
Yeah.
And so then we thought they would have package pickup, but Lego store is just at Disney. It's not considered part of Disney. So they don't have 24-hour package pickup. And we weren't sure because we were only spending two nights there if our package would make it. So Chris ended up spending the rest of the night lugging this huge box of Batcave all through Disney Springs in this big
thing. Oh, yeah.
It was just, oh, my.
Hey, yeah. I helped.
Yeah, Andrew carried it some, too. And it's so heavy that the little plastic handle on the bag was making my fingers numb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know,
cutting
it's...
cutting off circulation.
Yeah, it's cutting off circulation. So, so we did that. And, of course, we checked out the other shops.
We ate at the Earl of Sandwich because you have to.
Oh, the Earl of Sandwich. It just ruins you for just about every other kind of sandwich.
And you can use what's called if you're ever on the dining club, you can use your quick service credit, but I would suggest to anybody that's doing that to do that out of pocket rather than use your quick service there, because financially you'll end up using quick service in the parks for a better value on your meal.
Right.
As far as, you know.
The Earl of Sandwich's prices aren't as a lot of the restaurant prices in Disney World.
Yeah,
in the parks.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. About the only one that we've got around here that even compares, like Andrew said, is Firehouse Subs. But even it pales.
And the Amish store.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a little like a little local thing. But as far as a warm sandwich,
yeah.
But we ate there, and we were at the World of Disney, which is the huge...
I love that store.
The huge... I guess it's supposed to be like America's biggest Disney store or whatever.
Yeah, it is.
We ran into, oddly enough, local friends, the Manleys.
That we went to college with.
Right. That they frequented the comic shop that I used to work at Moorhead when it was college. And we knew they were going on vacation, and we were kind of hoping we were... going to bump into each other.
Right.
We found out that day that they were
going to be there. They were going to be at Disney Springs the same time we were. And so.
Yep. So we bumped into them there and got to talk to them, took some pictures. And their daughter
before they have what's called the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo Boutique there. And it's at Disney Springs. It's also at Magic Kingdom. Well, it's $60. And I was like, oh, and Danny really wanted to do it. But if you go up to the counter... there's a little side queue you can go to and say, I just want the little freebie. They'll do a little dusting of glitter in your kiddo's hair and say, may all your magic and wishes come true. Real quick, And Danny was like, oh, okay, I got that. But then Chip's family came, and their daughter is about a year or two older than Danny, and she had just gotten the complete package, complete with the... you know, the whole tiara and makeup and the dress, and I mean the huge package, because they have three different packages. One's $60, one's $95, and the other one is right at $200. And for $60, you get your hair and your makeup done, you get a little tote bag, you get a little tiara, a sash to wear, a little pin for your hair. Really super cute. And Dani didn't say a word, but she looked at her and she's like, oh, you look really pretty. And I was just like, oh, Chris, we've got to do this. I looked at Chris, and Chris looked at me. He's like, go make the appointment. And so I went up there, and they were really accommodating. She's like, oh, you know, really? You know, you're supposed to make this appointment ahead of time. I don't know. And then she looked at Danny's face. You could just see Danny start to, you know, oh. And she's like, let me see what I can do. And so they worked us in. We had to hang around for another half hour or so.
Right.
But they worked Danny in. And the look on Danny's face when they did this and they turn around and she's just like, oh, yay! I mean, you know, it was wonderful. And I'm so glad we did it.
Right. I couldn't really say a whole lot holding a $300 Batcave in a bag.
This is true.
But during that whole time, I was stuck outside because only two people could go in. I had nowhere to sit. I literally just walked around freaking that part, went outside, walked around in the stores. I felt like a homeless man.
But you know what? You did something cool for your sister. You got your sister got to do that, and I appreciate it, Andrew. I really do, because that's something she's going to remember.
Right, right. Well, and after that, we shopped around some more. Then we went to, we had dinner at Raglan Road, which if you've ever been to the Disney World, that's a great place to eat. It's an Irish pub.
Yes.
They had Irish step dance show that was just fantastic. It was just a great overall experience.
And they did Let It Go and a Stevie Nicks song.
Oh, they did. They the girl was singing. There was a band, live band, and they were doing Landslide by Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks. And then they just went straight from that into Let It Go from Frozen.
I know, and I'm just like, what?
And this is
like, pretty cool.
It was cool. I mean, you know, at Disney World, and man, they got a big response. I know there's a lot of people that you know, are done with Frozen. It was, you know, too popular, but it was great. So after that, we went back to Pop Century, and I had contacted Scott Gardner of mm-hmm. the Two True Freaks.
Right.
Because, you know, I knew he worked at Disney World, and he had mentioned on a recent Back to the Bins that he was looking for an issue of Batman, the Batman Chronicles, it was the quarterly book from the 90s. I think it was issue number 8. It was Batman Chronicles number 8, and it had Batman fighting a dinosaur on the cover, a cover by Walt Simonson. And the reason he was looking for it is he collects comics and other memorabilia that is on display at Disney World. And this comic book is on display in a restaurant in Animal Kingdom up on the wall. So he mentioned that on the show, and I knew we were going to Disney World, and I was kind of wanting to, you know, I was wanting to meet Scott and, you know, say, hey, I like your show, and just shake his hand and, you know, not take up his time. I know he's busy, but, well, I got to thinking, I had 2 copies of that comic. So I went, dug it out. Sure enough, I did. So I contacted Scott and said, hey, I got a copy of this comic. So, you know, we arranged a meet. He said he was going to be at work that night. So I went in there and at the front desk and told the lady I was looking for Scott. She went and got him. So me and him got to talk for a few minutes. Like I said, I didn't want to keep him. He was working. Super nice guy. Got to chew the fat about some geeky stuff. And we just had a nice little time. I handed him the comic and shook his hand. And it was nice. So I had to got 3, like, hook up, meet up.
You know, like Shag had his world tour. You had a tour right just in Florida.
Right.
You had a Florida tour.
I had a Florida tour. So got to hang out with some old friends and meet some new friends. So that was cool. That was a really cool thing.
And during this whole time, we were at the pool.
Yeah,
it was really cold.
It was so cold. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, nice.
But the kids really wanted to go. And Danny, you know, we had just spent $60 to get her this awesome hairdo.
Yeah.
Don't regret that. But I made her wear a life jacket in the pool so her hair wouldn't get wet. And so I'm like, I'm going to try and save this hairdo so she can wear it to the parks tomorrow. And that'd be pretty good. So.
Right. And then I came up with the idea, if she got it wet, then she had to pay all the money back to mom. So she did not get it wet.
Well, a bonus of being at the pool that night is we actually got to watch the fireworks from Hollywood Studios from the Star Wars celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So because we were going to go, and we did go to Hollywood Studios Tuesday night, but that was the night we switched over to Universal.
Right. So we left the park at 5-ish.
Yeah, something like that. So we knew we were going to get to watch fireworks. We did get to watch the Star Wars fireworks from the
hotel pool.
From poolside, which was cool. So the next day we got up and
hit it early
and went to the Magic Kingdom.
Got there at opening.
Yeah, got to
see, you know, the train comes in and it has all of these. You know, they do a song and dance number when they're saying good morning, and you know, it's great.
Yeah, that's the first time we've kind of come in at the very tail end of it,
mm-hmm.
but this is the first time we actually got to see it.
Yes.
And, you know, because we got 2 kids, and, you know, it's just kind of hard to get everything motivated. But we got to see, you know, Mickey and everybody get off the train. Then we had some fast passes, but we wanted to make sure we rode Peter Pan's flight, which we all liked.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome.
We all like Peter Pan. Well, we didn't know they have updated the queue.
Since the last time we've been
there. So now you go in
to the Darling's house.
Yeah, into their house. You get in the outside of the house and you can see inside. You see Mr. Darling talking to Mrs. Darling through the window. And then you see all these portraits on the wall, and then you get into the kid's room, and you see Tinkerbell flying around. You see Peter Pan's shadow on the wall. It's really cool. Yeah, that, you know, of course the ride's great. And while we were there, you know, we checked out some of the other rides. Some of them, there's certain rides we just have to do. There were some that we've done in the past that we did the first time. This is our third time to Disney.
Right.
That there's rides we did the first time that we didn't do last time. You know, we try to mix it up.
Oh, yeah. Like, we always make sure we do the Haunted Mansion.
Right, of course.
You know, that's something you have to do that.
Right. But we hadn't been on Pirates of the Caribbean in a while.
No, it was closed for refurbishment, I think, when last time we went.
Yeah, and I think the reason being, and some diehard Disney fans might say, no, they changed that a while back. But the last time we were there, I think the only Captain Jack Sparrow bit they had in there, I think, and I could be wrong, was him when he was like leaning up against the wall when they were looking for him or something. And, you know, I knew they'd put him in there, but now they've updated it to where you get a projection of Blackbeard and Davy Jones from the movies on a waterfall that you go through. It goes away and you go through it. And then you get that Captain Jack that we talked about from that scene. And another scene, he's coming out of a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, he's sitting in this room full of all these gold pieces.
Right.
And
it looks just like Johnny Depp. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, and he's singing the song, the Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho song. And so that was great. So me and Danny did that while you guys rode Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Because we had never rode that before. Now, I and Cindy, not quite as much as me, but neither one of us are coaster people.
No. Mm-mm.
But this trip, we really came out of our comfort zone quite a bit.
Well, and part of it was...
Yes.
Yeah, lack of information on my part.
Yes.
We'll get to that later.
But, so they rode Big Thunder Mountain, and we rode Pirates, and then later on, you guys rode Pirates, and then we all rode Big Thunder later that night.
What did you all do while we were riding Pirates?
We stood in line and met Jasmine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got Jasmine's autograph in the picture. But before I got on Big Thunder Mountain, we rode the Seven Dwarves Mine Train for the first time during daylight. Last time we rode it at night during Mickey's Not So Scary
Halloween. Yeah.
So it was a totally different experience to ride it in daylight and see, you know, what was going on.
Yeah.
So that was cool. We finally rode the teacups.
Yeah.
Me and the kids.
Not
did.
Me, because something about the teacups, something like that. I mean,
anything that spins you or moves you around like side to side, or
which we'll get to is what happened at Universal.
Yeah. You're in for a rude awakening there.
Yeah.
So we did that, and because we had dinner at Liberty Tree Tavern, and they were running behind,
which was really odd because usually if you have a reservation, you know, and we had made reservations because that's someplace Christopher loves to eat, and I had called ahead, got the reservation, and I mean, usually they're right on top of it. You might have to wait 5 minutes, but this time we had to wait like 40, 45 minutes.
Right. So we went over and
finally did the Hall of Presidents. Chris, the first time and the second time we went, he's like, come on, let's do it. And we're like, no learning vacation, no.
The reason I wanted to go really was one, because it's animatronics, and I remember seeing, you know, just like when I saw the Haunted Mansion when I was a kid in Pirates of the Caribbean, I remember seeing the Hall of Presidents.
Right.
Now, they've changed it a lot, because another reason I wanted to see it was Bill and Ted.
Right.
Because, you know, what did George Washington say to Hall of Presidents? Welcome to the Hall of Presidents, right. You know. Well, they've changed it now. It's you know, it's narrated by Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. It's more of a...
It should be narrated by Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. This righteous dude named George Washington totally killed Moby Dick with his wooden teeth.
Anyway.
That sounds like me and my friends. That's what we would write on a report.
But anyway, well, now they've got a very nice documentary that's narrated by Morgan Freeman. That's got, you know, it's got animatronic Lincoln in part of it. And then I'm kind of like, is all we're going to get Lincoln?
Right.
But then at the end, it's like every president is there. Yes. It's really cool.
It is. I'm really glad we ended up going and doing that, because not only did that make you happy, but it made the time pass a lot quicker, because, you know, we were having to wait for a reservation. They're like, oh, well, you know, you don't go out of the area because you've only got 10 minutes once your buzzer goes off to come back. And we're like, well, that's right there. So, you know.
And this was 20 minutes.
Right.
And Mom was hesitant at first, and then Dad.
And we still had to wait about another 10, 15 minutes when we got back. So, but anyway, so we did all that. And then we rode, all rode Big Thunder Mountain at the end of the night. So I got, you know, on a, I mean, I know by you people that ride like crazy roller coasters, you're like, oh, big deal. But for me, that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And I really liked it. I would have rode it again if we had time, but it was getting late.
Did it stop?
No, that one didn't stop. Splash Mountain stopped with you and me. That's something we forgot to talk about. Me and Andrew rode Splash Mountain because Danny didn't want any part of it after last time. She didn't want to ride Splash Mountain.
She just, mm-mm.
She didn't have any problem.
But she didn't have any problem with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Big Thunder Mountain, for whatever reason. Splash Mountain.
Maybe it's because it lulls her into the, yo, it's nice little, you know, it's like it's a small world, which we rode again. You know, and then all of a sudden it just drops.
Yeah.
But me and Andrew were on Splash Mountain, and it stopped. And it stopped right before one of the drops, one of the smaller drops.
Mm.
And we're like, you know, this is weird. And it's like, you know, it come on. It's like, the ride is temporarily stopped. Please remain in your car. All the lights came on, which was really different. So it was very, you know, it was lit a lot more than what you usually see, which kind of, you know, don't really
kinda
like.
Kind of took you out of it.
Kind of took you out of it. And so then it started up, but the lights didn't go back off. And when we went down that ramp, there wasn't that much water. You know, usually
there was barely any.
Usually you're like floating in water.
Yeah.
There was hardly any water in it when we went down. Now, as we come back, I guess the water had to fill back up or something. Then the water picked back up. But as we went down that ramp, you could see the ramp. We could see
it
the ramp.
It sounded so weird.
Slide or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and it sounded, I mean, it was all more like a traditional coaster thing almost. I mean, it wasn't much of a drop, but it was just kind of unsettling. It was like, So, yeah, but, you know, by the time we went to the big one, it stopped one more time, too. It stopped.
I think once it stopped on Big Thunder Mountain, because we were all together on one of these rides, and it stopped, and we were, like, hanging off.
And
I was up front.
Well, I know it stopped later when we were on at Universal.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that later, but anyway, it was kind of weird. But you know, of course, I was just afraid it was going to stop right when we were at the very tip top of the drop. While you come out in and you can see the whole park pretty much, and you're just sitting there. That's what I was afraid of. But luckily, it didn't. So, because that would have been just that would have been good.
Fun.
Yeah. So that was my first journey out of my comfort zone. The next day we got up and hit Hollywood Studios, which we knew there was a lot of new Star Wars stuff.
Right, and that's the day that The Force Awakens came out, too, on DVD.
Right,
so.
Which was waiting on us when we came home. And we knew that there was at least a new show, because you had read about it.
Right, that there was stuff coming.
Yeah.
But there weren't a lot of specifics out there yet.
Right, right.
Or that I could find.
So when we first walk in, we were thinking about going over to Star Tours. We had a fast pass for it later, but just to see if we could get on it again, or get on it before. Because, you know, you got to hit that early if you don't want to wait in line. But they had a 10-minute movie called Path of the Jedi, which apparently started running in November. As a lead-in to The Force Awakens. But, of course, this was our first chance to see it.
Right.
And it's basically a Star Wars highlight reel. And it ends in the final Force Awakens trailer. But we jokingly referred to it as the best way to watch the prequels. Because you get...
That's true.
You get all the hot spots and everything you need without all the stilted dialogue and wooden acting.
And Anakin seems cool in it.
So... So it was pretty cool. It was definitely worth it. And there was, you know, quite a bit of, like, new Star Wars stuff there. We didn't know anything about the Star Wars launch bay. That had opened in December. And that's a whole, you know, that's a whole building that's just full of Star Wars props and, you know, artwork and concept art and models and costumes.
And phone cases.
And phone cases.
They don't fit my phone.
Then unfortunately, don't fit Andrew's phone.
Andrew really wants a new phone case, but he has an older version because his mommy's mean.
Well, no, it's the new version of the older. It's the new version of an older version. So it's kind of, I know, but it's not an old phone.
No, no, it's a smartphone and everything.
It's a flip phone.
Yeah. It is not a flip phone.
Find me a smartphone case and put it on my flip phone.
But anyway, so the Star Wars launch bay, they had, while we were walking up to it, they had character encounters.
Which we didn't know.
We didn't know they were going to have it. They had one for Chewbacca, and the line was like 40 minutes. And one for Kylo Ren that was like 20 minutes. So we chose the Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
So the section we were in, they had all the Imperial or First
dark
Order.
Dark side stuff.
Dark side stuff they had.
Which was freaking awesome.
Stormtrooper helmets and lightsaber hilts.
Even from the TV shows, Rebels, the old Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And, and then the other side had...
Sabine's helmet, a bunch of other
X-wing helmets, Jedi lightsabers, and because we could look down into it later, so we got to have our encounter with Kylo Ren, who stayed in character the entire time, and actually had some dialogue from the movie, which I'm sure was just the dialogue from the movie.
What gets me is, you know, Andrew has a Star Wars shirt on. I think Boba Fett, and you had a Star Wars vintage. Star Wars shirt on. Danny had Star Wars with the droids on. I had Barbie. I was like,
Well, you know, you didn't have a Star Wars shirt. So.
I know. But I was like, oh, and that's the reason, you know, they took all these pictures and stuff. And at the end, I had him take a picture just of you three with him because I was just like,
Yeah, but that was cool. I mean, he looked good, you know, and he did the whole hand gestures. And there's a picture, a hilarious picture, where he's got his, you know, he's curling up his fingers into a fist, and he's right
because he says he wants that droid, and he turns and looks at me, and I give him the eyebrow. What are you talking about?
Gives him a raised eyebrow. So
man,
yeah, it was cool. And then as we come out. There were Jawas.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
And one of them walked by, and before we realized, I was like, there's a Jawa. And he walked by, and I said, oh, Teeny! And he raised his little hand, arms up in the air, and shook him, you know.
And Dad felt so happy after that.
And then they came back around, and we were trying to get a picture with one of them, and they stayed in character. They were hiding kind of behind
Danny. Yeah, wanted to look at any electronic thing you had.
They were looking at Danny's magic band, you know, because the magic bands are if you haven't been to Disney World in a while, they're fairly new, the things that you know, they've got, basically it's your tickets on there, your fast passes, your hotel key, all that stuff's on your bracelet. And they were, you know, checking it out and so it was really cool.
And then one of the people behind us was with one of the other ones, and he gave it its phone, and he dropped it on the ground and started poking at it.
I mean, really super, super well done.
Well, the in-character thing went a little too far at one point because we came up, and we came out, we went up, there was this thing going on that had stormtroopers on stage, and we're like, is this the Star Wars show they're talking about? Because it was in the middle of the, kind of right in front of the replica of the Chinese theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked up to this person who was in a First Order uniform, this lady, and I said, is this Star Wars show? And I showed her the map. She's like, that's something else. This is the March of the First Order. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess this isn't what we thought it was. And, you know, we just thought it was like one of those quick little mini parades that, you know, that pop up here and there. And we were kind of in a hurry. We had to go to Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, we had a fast pass.
So we asked somebody else about it later, and they're like, yeah, it's the thing that's going on over there, like, you know, right. And it was going on again right then. And they're like, and what was the name of the show? It was called... Star Wars: A Galaxy Far, Far Away. Oh, I think I know that. That's the new show.
Right.
And this lady was like, yeah, that's it right over there. And I was like, well, somebody just told me it wasn't. Like, and she was kind of like, okay. You know, it's like, well, you've got an actress here that's very into her role. Yeah. Which which I guess is a good thing, but at the same time, it totally confused us.
Yeah.
But anyway, so after we went to Toy Story Mania and you smoked us, Cindy,
you'll get payback later.
Cindy beat everyone by like she like beat me by like double, almost doubled my score.
My score was like, I mean, that might not be the best score in the world. I don't care. I got like 146,000. Chris got 88. I love that. Andrew was behind him, and Danny was behind Andrew, and I smoked him again.
Yeah, she always does. Sucks. But my accuracy was far better.
Yeah.
And like Wyatt Earp says, fast is fine, but accuracy is everything.
I don't care. I still smoked him. Still.
But anyway, so after that, we eventually made our way to Star Tours and rode Star Tours.
Yeah.
And
they added stuff.
Yes, they had, we got to see Finn.
Yeah.
He came on and said, what are you doing here, Star Tours? And we were on Jakku.
Yep.
In flying through the wreckage of the AT-ATs and Star Destroyer and all that stuff.
Yep.
And the Millennium Falcon was there, so it was like we were in The Force Awakens, and BB-8 showed up as a hologram.
Yeah.
And we went from that to Jar Jar.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we were back in the Gungan underwater scene that we'd seen before, which is still cool, but, you know, it was like, can't win them all. So then as we run out of there, we heard, you know, it's like, well, there's that. We heard all this noise and commotion and this big crowd. It's like, let's go find out. That's that Star Wars show.
Yeah.
Well, it just started as we rolled up. And unfortunately, Cindy really didn't get to see it.
Nothing.
Because she was.
I mean, I am short, and those shows are not made for short people.
Well, you got to be in the front of the line, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm 5'3". Could not see crap. I saw the top of the screen. Woo.
So basically what it is it's three big screens. And the stage, and they basically had every masked character from Star Wars of any importance come out on the stage.
Right.
So you had Vader,
Boba Fett,
Chewbacca, Boba Fett. You had
3PO,
R2-D2, BB-8 rolled out. Boba Fett and the Stormtroopers actually shot. Boba Fett shot a blast off his gauntlet.
Yeah.
Which was freaking boss.
Yeah, and there were explosions of Stormtrooper shot.
And it got so hot.
Stormtrooper shot out of their blasters. It was really, really well done and cool. And they were, you know, it was interspersed with scenes from the movies in the background. And it was really cool. There was an interactive part where Kylo Ren come out and he actually, you know, has his temper tantrum. And tears up the screen. I mean, because the screen animates and shows that he tore it up. It's really well done.
Well, you were so. I mean, you got to think about it. Danny is 8.5, and Chris put her up on his shoulders to watch his show because he is an awesome daddy. And I mean, you know, he held her up so she could see.
I hadn't done that in a long time, and I found out. Okay, her torso is longer than my arms. I can't get her lap around my neck.
So I had to pick her up.
So I had to crouch down so Andrew could pick her up and put her on my back and then stand up.
Well, you gotta think
about
it.
Sounds so painful.
It was painful.
Danny is 4'3".
Yeah, she's tall for her age.
Yeah, she's really tall for her age. And so, you know.
Yeah, but it was worth it because it was really cool. It was really well done. So that was one other cool thing I forgot to write down. We got a couple little guideline notes. We were looking for something cold to drink. And we stopped, and I think I've heard somebody mention this before. It might have been on Earning My Ears on Two True Freaks, which Scott Gardner hosts. But we went to a place called Peavey's. And as soon as I said Peavey's, I'm like, oh, Peavey from The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
You know, Alan Arkin's character in The Rocketeer. And I looked over, and there's the Rocketeer's helmet and his jetpack. The jetpack's hanging on the wall and the helmet's on a shelf over in the corner. I mean, it's almost like it's forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's just stowed over there. And I took pictures of it. I mean, I'm sure it's not a movie used one. I'm sure it's a recreation.
Right.
But still, it's like it was cool to see it there, mm-hmm. if nothing else, you know. So after that, we left Disney and went over to Universal. We went to Universal City Walk that night and ate at Margaritaville, which was cool. Oh, yeah. Which was cool, because I'm a Jimmy Buffett balloon fan. Animals. And Danny got, you know, there was people making balloon animals on stilts and stuff. So we kind of had a dinner to show with that one, too. And then the next day, we got up and went to Universal for the very first time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And we had an early park access to Universal Studios, because there's two parks, in case you don't know. There's Universal Studios, and then there's the Islands of Adventure. And they're connected through the City Walk.
Well, actually, what it is by staying on property, you get in to Diagon Alley. That's what you get in early to. Not Universal Studios proper. It's Diagon Alley.
Right.
That you get early admission
to. Right. Well, but I mean, that's part of the Island of Adventure. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, that's part of the studios. But, so we were able to do that. And we knew, because we have a book on an unofficial guide to Walt Disney World that will tell you, go do the Harry Potter stuff right as soon as you get there, or at the very end of the day, because it is just packed. I mean, apparently at some times of the year, you can't even get into those parts of the park.
Yeah.
You have to wait and get almost like the old school fast pass to come back later, which I did not know until after we came back. So we were very lucky. So we made this mad dash through the park. Because Diagon Alley is clear on the other side of the park.
Yes, it's in a back corner.
It's in the back corner, and we went, you know, behind this wall, and then you walk into, bam, you're in Harry Potter land.
It's awesome.
The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, as they call it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
It blew my mind.
It's just awesome. You go in, and I mean, there's these buildings, and you walk in, and on top of this one building, Gringotts Bank, there's the huge dragon, and I mean, it is awesome. And so we knew we wanted to do Escape from Gringotts first.
You knew you wanted to do it first. I'm like, what is this? I mean, what are we getting on? What's going on? And I mean, I'm like, and they're like, well, you've got a backpack. You got to put it in a locker, which is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
Several Universal rides, you have to put all your bags in a freaking locker.
It's, and there's rooms on the ride.
Yeah,
to put your stuff.
I don't understand that. Now, if you got like a huge, like if you're carrying a suitcase with you, we had a backpack that had water bottles in it. You know, it's like. Really? But anyway, so all this is going on. I'm like, what are we getting on? What is this? You know? And you knew. You knew what it was.
I really wanted to go.
And it's essentially a dark ride simulator meets a roller coaster. There's roller, as they say it, as we found out as we were in the line toward the end, General Hux. From The Force Awakens, who was also, what's his name, Bill Weasley? Ron Weasley. Nothing against Harry Potter. I want to watch him. It's just, as the kids were growing up, I just have not had a chance to sit down and watch these movies with, you know, I just haven't. So, I've got a vague familiarity with them. But anyway, I do know the guy that plays Bill Weasley.
So, I basically spent this time explaining all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I forgot it all.
Yeah, because Andrew had seen the movies. And Danny's just now starting to read the books and watch the movies. But, so, the guy that plays General Hux, like, talks to
Bill
us.
Bill Weasley.
Bill Weasley tells us what this, you know, this is a, it's got roller coaster elements and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there thinking, what in God's name am I getting on here? And next thing I know, we're on this thing. And it was freaking cool. It was cool. But it was, you know.
Oh, my God.
Bellatrix, Voldemort. I mean, all of this. I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was. So, you know, we got out of that. We had to, you know, we stayed in that Diagon Alley for a while.
Diagon.
We joked about us being from Kentucky. Bunch of rednecks calling it Diagon Alley.
Which irritated the living... S-H-I-T.
We're going to go see that Harry Potter.
Stop it.
We'll see that Harry Potter boy over on Diagon Alley. I ain't much into him because he's in league with the devil. But since we paid this much, we might as well go over and see what he's doing.
Irritated the crap out of me. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But we, you know, we walked around all the stores.
Yes. And got... Frozen butterbeer. Yum.
Yeah, frozen butterbeer is good. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. And then we rode the Hogwarts Express from Islands of It, I'm getting confused myself, from Universal Studios over to the Islands of Adventure park.
It was a lot different than I thought it would be. I thought it'd just be a train ride.
It's like a ride.
It's a ride in and of itself. You get into your own private compartment. That there's eight. Well, not your own, but
you and two, you and another family, basically.
Yeah, and then you look out, and they have the screens projected, so it looks like when you're looking out the window that you're actually passing through the countryside, and you get to see Hagrid, and all the
flying motorcycle.
Those scary Phantom Zone people.
No.
The Dementors.
Dementors.
See, I even knew that. And see Harry and Ron and
Hermione,
who I can never say her name right. I always want to say her name wrong. The silhouettes of them as they fight the
Annoying it is that I have a family. Luckily, thank goodness, Danny is learning, but that I have a family that does not understand Harry Potter.
We got so much comic book stuff to keep up with. We don't have room. It's like Homer Simpson. I don't have room in my brain for that.
If you put another thing in, something else will come out.
That's right.
I don't have room.
That's right. But anyway, so the train ride was really cool. We rode it over to Islands of Adventure. But the first thing we had to do, we had to get out of Hogsmeade, which is where you end up. We had to make it over to the Marvel section.
Oh, yeah. The coolest thing ever.
Because the Marvel, everybody knows Marvel, Universal still has Marvel in their parks, which is interesting since Disney obviously owns Marvel.
I don't want it to leave now.
but the big ride over there, the Incredible Hulk roller coaster, something I wouldn't ride anyway, is closed right now for
rehab.
Refurbishment,
sorry.
It's rehab. Hulk's in rehab.
Well, he's in there with Tony Stark.
There you go. So we had to ride the Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man because I'd heard all these things. You'd seen all the commercials.
He's
so
freaking boss. I loved that ride so. I felt like I was right there with him. I just wanted to give him a high five or hug him.
Right. So we rode that. It was awesome. The queue, the line the first time was pretty long. We actually rode that twice. We'll get back to that later, but it's cool. They got the Daily Bugle offices you go through, and you can see different people's desks and what's on their computer screen.
And they have their own animations.
Right, yeah. There's
that they created.
Right.
And it looks good, too.
Right.
Well, what I like about Universal is, as far as ride times, throughout the park, there are screens. I ran across about five or six of them. And it has, their big attractions. It'll say approximate wait time. So you don't go all the way across the park and, it's 120 minutes. But you can look and see, that's doable. We can make our way across.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah, that is nice.
And, because for me, my phone, yes, I know at Disney you can download an app that has it with the approximate wait times. But my phone was so full. I took Facebook off because I was taking so many pictures. I took Facebook off. I took four or five different apps off of my phone just so I could have pictures. I didn't have room for an app. So that was appreciated by me.
Right, right. So we did that, rode Spider-Man, and when we came out, we went into the Marvel shop. Of course, it takes you out to a Spider-Man shop.
Of course.
Just like Disney.
Yeah, freaking awesome.
Just like Disney, every ride ends in a gift shop, except for one, which I thought was kind of interesting. Then we went to, we were looking around shopping, and then the Marvel parade
came through.
And they ride up on those new spider type things because they got two wheels in the front and one in the back. So when the first time we saw it, they had Spider-Man, Captain America, Wolverine,
Rogue and Storm,
right?
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, they rode up, and we found out followed Captain America.
Yes.
So we got in line to talk to Captain America. The Captain America was awesome.
He was Captain America.
Right. Okay, he was Captain America.
We all had Captain America shirts on that day.
Yes. He had an Avengers shirt.
Well, yeah, that's
you and me had Captain America, and Danny had an Avengers shirt that had headshots of Cap, Thor, Hulk, and Iron Man.
Yeah.
And so he asked us, he's like, well, he had already told me when he was giving everybody high fives. He said, "Nice shirt, sir."
Yeah.
So, and his voice sounded like recap what I was reading.
He sounded quite a bit like Chris Evans, actually. Mm-hmm. His voice did. And the suit looked great. I mean, yeah, it was very much the John Cassidy, Steve Epting Captain America with the pronounced scale mail, yeah, you know, that type.
It reminded me of the Ultimate Universe cap.
Yeah, but he had the classic ears, yeah, the wings and stuff. That's true. So it was more the modern version of the classic costume. The before they started really monkeying with the design a lot.
Chris Evans wear it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just telling Andrew, if they updated the materials,
right,
to Hollywood level, that costume would look fine in the movie. So, but anyway, so he actually, it was kind of funny. He asked us. He said, "So who's your favorite Avenger?" He said, "You don't have to say it's me. I understand." And we're like, "No, it is you.
It's you. Yeah, it's you."
which was cool. So we had a really great time with him. We also got pictures with Dr. Doom. We had a fun encounter. Me and Andrew, yeah, had a fun encounter with Dr. Doom because I came up to him and I said, "Lord Doom," and I kind of bowed, and he said, "Yet you wear a Captain America t-shirt." And I said, "We're spies." You know, and he asked Andrew what the A on his shirt stood for, and we were trying to, I couldn't think of anything to tell him.
I was flummoxed. I was like, what?
I thought later I should have said AIM, you know, but he said, "It stands for awful," you know. And we told him when we left, we'll see you in Latveria. But anyway, so that was cool. We got a picture made with Wolverine later too, yeah, which was cool.
Yeah.
We tried to get your picture made that day with Green Goblin, but he was literally staying in character and just
he was tormenting little children.
He would run up to them and scare them and then run away.
Yeah.
I mean, not like terrified, but just, yeah.
Yep. We even got to eat at the Captain America diner.
Yes.
For lunch.
It was good.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
And burgers. I mean, typical all-American.
Right.
Oh, you know? That makes sense now.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. We got completely soaked riding the Popeye ride.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Chris and I love water rides. And this ride, I think that was the wettest I have ever gotten. I was just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
My jeans were blue, and then after I got off the ride, they were black.
We are connoisseurs of the whitewater raft type ride.
Yes.
Because
people have roller coasters, we have this.
We were spoiled by Kings Island,
mm-hmm,
which is, what's that called? Whitewater Rapids or something? I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, I can't think of it off in Cincinnati. We were spoiled by that ride. So we judge every, raft ride like that. It's like, honestly, when we rode the Cali River Rapids at Animal Kingdom, I think part of it at Disney the first time we went, that was the first ride we rode at Disney World. I was kind of disappointed in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they may have had some of it shut down and didn't have we didn't ride the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole round.
But this Popeye ride, of course, there was a lot of, there was like the figures of Popeye. And of course, the animatronics and stuff aren't as good as at Disney. But, it's very cartoony, so it's okay. And, but, it was just a lot of drops. It was just, you thought it was over. And
I know, you thought it was over.
You were going back up into the ramp. No, then it drops you off.
And you're like,
again. So that was a lot of fun.
And we got to see Popeye and Olive Oil.
Yep, we got the picture made with Popeye and Olive Oil.
Cool. Yeah. And he had fake muscles on and hands. And he went to go shake my hand and I shook his. It was so weird. That rubber. I was like, oh, what?
Yes, very, very creepy. They look very much like the Robin Williams movie. Then, after getting soaked on that, we rode the...
Since we were already wet.
Dudley Do-Right Ripsaw Falls, which was the longest queue in history because...
And it is one of your typical queues. I mean, there's nothing to look at.
Yeah, you can tell that ride's been there for a long time.
There's a moose... There's a little squirrel.
Not till you get ready to go.
Like it's a bear.
It's a bear.
Whatever it is. Whatever. I mean, it was so long. It was the longest wait we had.
And we got stuck on that ride again. So there's something about these water rides.
Yes.
The equivalent of Splash Mountain there we got stuck on. This time we did get stuck at the top.
We did.
I was up front. And they said, "Please wait, blah, blah, blah. You're not supposed to go," basically. We went.
While it took back off, it was telling us that the ride had temporarily stopped and we were going.
And I was like, oh,
stop.
So we didn't know what we were getting into, but we made it. It was fun. It was fun. It's more.
But it was a long way.
It's more probably a little more crazy than Splash Mountain, but it's nowhere near as well done as Splash Mountain. But it was still fun. So then we ended that evening. We went back to Hogsmeade and we ate at the Three Broomsticks.
Because you love me.
Yes, because I love you. And then somehow, I don't know how, but we made it onto the Forbidden Journey ride, is in the Hogwarts Castle. Yes. We've got the Hogwarts Castle.
And I'm telling you, that queue is awesome. You go through all of Hogwarts. You get to see Dumbledore. You get to see Ron and Hermione and Harry. You know, it's just awesome. Mm-hmm. And all the props you get to look at, mm-hmm. the queue is worth it.
Mm-hmm. And then we got on that ride, which I thought the Diagon Alley ride was crazy. This was even crazier because you were on a bench, and at several points during this crazy ride with giant spiders and snakes and dragons and stuff coming at you, you were literally on your back because it flipped over backwards with you.
And my harness thing, it didn't get pushed down all the way, so I was going like this, flopping around the whole time.
And then it flipped us on our side, and I'm thinking, this thing's going to flip us over completely. And I found out later it actually could, because it's on one of those KUKA arm robot things like factories use.
I thought it was awesome, because I was like, but I think part of it, though, is I have read all the books, I know all the canon, so I knew, like, an Escape from Gringotts, I knew what was going to happen because they, you know, in the movie they show the escape from Gringotts, so I knew what was going to happen. This one, the Forbidden Journey, I'd read before, and I was like, I really want to do this. He'll be okay. Yeah, he'll be okay.
Well, the thing is, I mean, it's just and we've read about this. It adheres to the canon. The books and the movies, because the movies. J.K. Rowling insisted that the movie stick to the canon.
Exactly.
That all sticks to the canon. I mean, I know there's a little bit of timey-wiminess of elements from different movies merging together different, you know, they have to do that. But overall, it does. And I mean, the word immersion gets thrown around a lot, but you literally feel, especially more in Diagon Alley than I think Hogsmeade, because you can't see the other roller coasters.
Yeah.
You can't see the other attractions at all. It really feels like you're literally walking into another world.
I mean, it's wonderful. And if anybody out there is, you know, a Harry Potter fan, you really are making a pilgrimage.
Yeah, I was going to
really
say.
It just made me so happy. And I was really, really good because I tried to be good. I bought one t-shirt.
But you did not have to. He bought $300 worth.
I kept trying to get her to buy more, and she wouldn't do it. So
when we went to one of these stores, I said, you're going to buy something. And if you
and
don't,
I am
you
a
don't
proud
leave.
Hufflepuff, and I got a shirt with Hufflepuff on it. That is me. That is my house that I was sorted into, and I'm proud of that. Pottermore sorted me. So there you go.
Okay, then.
So there you go. Well, so that night we went back to our hotel that was Cabana Bay, and kids went to the pool. It was very chilly, so me and Cindy didn't stay out in the pool.
It wasn't as bad as it was at Disney World, though. It wasn't as cold.
And oddly enough, they were showing Man of Steel on a big screen in a park that's Marvel, but it's got Marvel stuff.
Yeah, and then the tornado scene with him and his dad, the wind started blowing really hard, and I was like, oh, crap.
Let's not get into the tornado scene. Then the next day, we went back to the studios, but this time we didn't do Harry Potter.
Right.
Because we knew the Minion Madness was open, so we did that. So we were able to get on that. By the time we got out of that,
much walked on to Transformers.
Yeah. Later on there was a line like wrapped around a block.
The Transformers were really cool.
Yeah, that was a very similar ride.
I have to say this, though, about Universal. That a lot of those are motion rides.
Oh, yeah.
And for somebody that is prone to motion sickness like I am, I pretty much spent the whole time nauseous.
Right.
I did.
But I felt more immersed with the giant screen and us moving around.
I did
like
feel
that.
Like I was more in it, you know, and it was more of an inclusive experience. But I was pretty much nauseous the whole time.
Right.
I wasn't. Yeah. Spider-Man was freaking swag.
Yeah, Transformers is very much like the same. It's almost the exact same ride as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even got the same car. Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same.
Spider-Man's cooler.
Yeah, Spider-Man's better. Just like my problem with the Transformers ride is my problem with the Transformers movies. The robots all look alike. The designs aren't distinctive enough. I have a hard time telling Megatron from Starscream.
That's like the biggest one. They look exactly the same.
Yeah, that's just kind of weird. But so we rode that. We rode Men in Black.
Oh,
which was fun.
And I roasted all of them.
Oh, yes, you did.
But I was losing. And then there's this giant alien in the middle of the street.
You go under him, literally.
And I shot every single eye and then shot in the middle, and I killed him and got 100,000 bonus points.
Yeah, I was ahead of him. It's a shoot. It's basically, if you've ever rode, ever ridden the Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin, it's similar to that. Or Toy Story Mania to a point, but more like the Buzz.
Right,
Buzz
because it's a gun rather than a pullback thing.
Yeah, and...
And this one's harder, just so everyone knows that I'm better at these things than Mom. Because this thing is harder.
There's a little laser dot, little laser pointer that...
Which is harder to aim.
Yeah, and that's how you tell. And you really can't tell you're hitting it until you see the points go up, you know. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was, I mean, I wouldn't have minded riding that again, but we just didn't get a chance to go back around to it.
I would love to ride it again and roast you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know if you'd roast us again.
Yeah. So after that, we rode The Simpsons, which I hate to say I was
disappointed.
Yeah, but I wasn't as into.
But the queue thing before it was better.
Yeah, I liked the queue better than the ride. I don't know why. I'd heard a lot of great things about it, but I just wasn't as impressed with it as some of the other ones.
Because the ride, it tilted more than moved. More than anything, it just tilted. And all the other seat benches were around us, and I could see it the whole time. And it bothered me.
So, we had to eat lunch at the Universal Classic Monster Cafe.
Yes.
It was 10 times better than I imagined it. After going to Captain America, yes, it was good, but it didn't... They should have made it more like World War II or something.
Right. Yeah. The Captain America was more just a generic, like, superhero restaurant with, you know, it had pictures of... It was more of an Avengers restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like the comic book version of the Avengers. But this one, I mean, it was like the Forrest J. Acker Mansion, you know, with the massive collection, or Kirk Hammett's house.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was like.
It was really,
I mean, there
cool.
were reproductions of movie posters. There were full-size figures of the main monsters behind glass. There were busts. I mean, all sorts of photos. I mean, it was just... I just wanted to move in.
The vibe of that place was amazing, too.
Yeah.
Like, they were showing the movies. There was different sections, and
We sat in the
crypt. It was called the crypt dining room.
And they would show a movie from like that theme.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, they were showing like movie trailers and things on the screens.
Which was cool.
It was cool. Yeah, I mean, it was just... And the food was pretty good.
It was pretty good, even though we had to wait in line for so long.
Yeah, well, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Universal's dining plan. Universal, the park, we loved. Universal, the what do you want to call it? All the keys. You get a packet of cards.
I kid you not.
It looks like somebody that's got 50 credit cards because they're almost all maxed out. That's what it looks like.
I mean, it's ridiculous. You have a card for the park. You have a card for City Walk. You have a card for the tickets. You have a card for your room. You have a card for each person for your dining plan.
Paper tickets to get into the park that you got to keep up with.
Yeah, and if they get wet, you're screwed.
Right, and you got to use your finger to do this and that. Which at Disney, you've got the Magic Band, which I
love that.
I know that is a huge undertaking for them to switch over to something like that, but at the same time, we went to Disney the first time before they had Magic Bands, and it wasn't that crazy. Mm-mm. I mean, it was just the parks itself and the hotel were great, but the actual infrastructure part of it or whatever,
there you go.
It's aggravating. It's very aggravating.
Well, in like pictures, you know, at Disney, all you got to do is flash your Magic Band, and then you get the ride pictures, and you get the pictures, and you know, the different experiences and stuff. And you have time to look at them after you come home. But at Universal, You have to buy them that day.
Right.
And view them that day. And I didn't get any of them because, we had them scanned, but I was just like, don't have time to fiddle with this.
Right.
Yeah. We wanted as much time as possible to do all the cool stuff.
Right, yeah.
Than to bother with pictures.
Right. We took plenty of pictures anyway, so.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, the Universal, went back to Universal Monster Cafe, that was awesome, and it was just, it's fantastic. And I understand... I was disappointed. I knew and heard people say that there's just not a lot of Universal Monster stuff in the parks anymore, which is a downer. Actually, Andrew spotted one more piece of Universal merchandise because we rode the E.T. ride, which was cool. And that was more of an old school animatronic.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Peter Pan's flight in a lot of ways because you're above everything and flying
see
around.
A city below you.
Right, right. So we rode that, and when we come out, it was kind of, you come out in a toy shop, a merchandise shop, and it was called E.T.'s Toy Closet, from the scene in the movie with, when he's in there with all the stuffed animals hiding.
Yeah.
And in behind the counter, there's an actual big giant toy closet, and Andrew saw about like an 18-inch tall Wolfman doll.
When we first walked in, I noticed it.
And he's like, look, the Wolfman. I'm like,
my radar goes off when there's a Wolfman. I'm like, what?
So, unfortunately, that's probably like old store stock from like several years back when they used to sell them. Because the only other thing we really saw, they were t-shirts for sale in another store.
Yeah. But they're like t-shirts you can get at Walmart.
Yeah.
They really work. His dad's got one that's better.
Yeah.
Than the one at Universal.
And it doesn't cost
$30. Yeah, it was like $8 versus $30.
Right, but... The one thing we didn't do that after I come back I found out I wish I had was the Universal Horror Makeup Show. And we talked about doing it, but we just ran out of time. Mm-hmm. But they've got a lot of props and posters and pictures of, the Universal Monster makeups and the people, the actors getting it applied and Jack Pierce and Bud Westmore and people like that putting it on the actors. So I wish we'd got a chance to do that. So next time we'll have to do that. But, we've got to leave some stuff for...
And there will be a next time.
Yes, for next time. So at the end of the day, we rode back to... where did we go back to? We went back to... Which one?
No.
Oh, we went back to the Marvel.
Yeah. We rode the Hogwarts Express back over to the Island of Adventure again. And we had to ride Spider-Man before we left.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we rode Spider-Man one more time. And on the way out, we ran into Cyclops and finally got a picture, which Cyclops we knew, recognized. Because we saw Captain America the second day and said, that's not the same guy from yesterday.
No, it couldn't have been. He was shorter. And he
had a rounder, younger face than the guy from the day before. So we come up, we're walking past, and Cindy's like, look, there's Cyclops. I'm like, oh, cool.
And we got closer.
And I'm like, that's Captain America.
Yeah.
That's Captain America from yesterday. That's our Captain America.
Yeah.
Because I heard his voice.
And
he's
it
got
was.
This distinguished voice.
Right. And so we talked to him, and me and Andrew did a picture where we're all holding our glasses like we're firing an optic blast. And Cindy walked up to him, and what did you tell him?
I said, yeah. And I said, you make a good Captain America, too. And he's like, oh, no. I'm more handsome than that guy.
But yeah, whoever that guy is, he was great.
He was good in both roles.
Yeah, he was. But I think he, like Andrew said, he makes a better Captain America because he's more of a, outgoing,
more of the Boy Scout type guy.
Yeah, than Cyclops, who's more brooding, But as we were walking out, we finally got a picture with the Green Goblin because you called him Norman Osborn.
Yep. Norman Osborn, come over here.
And he's like shook his finger at you.
Yeah, but I got his attention.
But it got his attention and we got a picture. So I don't know what was better, the fact that we got a picture or I'm married to a woman who knows who Norman Osborn is. I don't know.
But when we took this Green Goblin picture, I stood in behind him with the Spider-Man whip.
So what do we think overall?
Is better.
Yeah, the kids both said that.
Yeah, both of the kids said that. I mean, it's one of those things. There's still some things that Disney does better, like the animatronics and stuff like that. They do the infrastructure, like we were talking about, better. But there are so many things, like the Dr. Seuss area, which we didn't even touch on.
Yeah.
It was so good in the character interactions where you can walk up to them on the street, and
that was better.
Yeah, I think part of it is just because, other than the Harry Potter part, which is just swamped.
Yeah.
Most of the day.
But we got really lucky. I mean, yeah. You know, they talk about a lot of times people have to go and wait or not even get in at all. And, I mean, we didn't have any problems getting on. I mean, yeah, we had to wait a little bit, but not excessive.
Yeah, I think we just hit everything at just the right time.
I think we got really lucky.
I think we did, too. And I think that's it. I don't think one's better than the other. I think they're just two totally different experiences.
I will say this. Oh, and the Shrek ride. We rode the Shrek ride.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. If you're a woman, you need some more support on the galloping scenes. That was awful.
Did I get a black eye, did you?
Crap!
Well, you brought it up.
Can we move on now?
But I think my takeaway from it was kind of your complaint about your motion sickness is at Disney, partially because it has developed over 40 years and because it's working from stuff that was developed at Disneyland, which is now 60 years old.
Right.
Then you have a progression of different types of rides. So there's not this ride's just like that ride or that ride. At Universal, they're almost all motion simulator rides of varying degrees.
Right.
I like that, though.
Well, I there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But it's just, there's just less variety. There's less variety of the different types of experiences you're going to get. I think at Disney World, you don't know what, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is part roller coaster and part animatronics. That's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing quite like the Haunted Mansion. That's a dark ride, but you know, there's some animatronic elements in that, and then there's projection and all that stuff. So there's more different elements. Now, the Harry Potter rides had probably more of a mix of different elements than most of them did.
Right.
I mean, they all have some. Like they've said in many things we've read, they love to spray you with water at Universal.
Yes.
They just love to just, like, everything spits water at you on every ride you're on.
But
pretty much.
Generally, when you go to theme parks, I mean, it's particularly in Florida, you're hot, so the water is a welcome.
Right. Nobody really minds, you know. I mean, but you know, we got water on us at Fantasmic and not Fantasmic, PhilharMagic.
Yes.
And which we did that. That's awesome. And the Muppets, which we did.
So. And Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we didn't mention everything we did, but we're trying to keep it more to stuff that people are generally interested, listen to the show. But, you know, if you haven't been down to either park in a while or have never been, there's definitely, if you're listening to this show, there's definitely something down there in each park for you. I mean, you can go, or well, maybe not each park, but each, you know, like Disney World or Universal, because there's more Star Wars stuff coming. I just, you know, obviously they're building a whole section, and there was a lot under construction.
Right. I mean, we tend to go... what we've done the last little bit is go about every 2 years. So I'm hoping the next time we go, that part will be completed, or at least partially
they'll have at least a ride or something open, a new ride open.
It'd be cool to walk on the Millennium Falcon.
Well, yeah. There's supposed to be a Millennium Falcon ride, but I don't know exactly what it's going to be. But so we had a great time, and we want to go back desperately. We didn't want to leave. So,
yeah.
And we could argue over which one we're going to go to.
They made me leave. I would have stayed. I
Well, you know, at some point you just can't afford to stay.
I don't even want to see our credit card bill.
No.
I could have hunkered down in like a hot dog cart. Just stayed there.
You're silly.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Cindy and I will tackle your feedback.
C-3PO,
Loki,
Mace Windu,
Dr. Bruce Banner,
Captain Rex,
Venom,
Princess Leia,
Jean Grey,
Darth Maul,
Nick Fury,
Grand Moff Tarkin,
Captain America,
Lando Calrissian,
Cyclops.
What do all these characters have in common?
Well, two of them were played by Samuel L. Jackson.
A couple of them were played by Hammer Films veterans Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Come on, guys, you know this.
Well, of course we do, Jessica. Just like Mickey Mouse and Captain Jack Sparrow, They're all now Disney characters. Hello, I'm Tracy of the Disney Indiana podcast, and my co-host Scott and I enjoy talking about all aspects of the House of Mouse, and that includes their newest properties, Marvel and LucasArts.
We also talk about Disney resorts, the cruise line, theme parks, and whatever else Mickey has to offer.
Which includes movies, Imagineering, video games, and collectibles. You'll never know what we'll decide to talk about.
So check us out at www.disneyindiana.com or do a search for the Disney Indiana podcast on iTunes. Because now we've got a lot more to talk about.
And don't forget about those other quote-unquote Disney characters like, well, Sully.
Fozzie Bear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Link Hogthrob.
Doug.
Janice.
Merida.
Pepe.
Bruce.
Ralph the Dog.
Wally.
The Disney Indiana podcast. Even after 5 years, we are still miles away from the nearest Main Street, USA. We are not listed on the map, but you can join us at www.disneyindiana.com.
A spine-tingling, nerve-shattering podcast featuring all your favorite monsters. You won't believe your ears when you listen to Monster Kid Radio. Hear your host, Derek M. Cook, and his ever-rotating stable of guests discuss your favorite classics and sometimes not-so-classic monster movies. Subscribe to Monster Kid Radio through iTunes or Stitcher, or visit MonsterKidRadio.net before the next weekly episode of Monster Kid Radio. Go through the archives for interviews with Sarah Karloff, Victoria Price, and Joel Hodson. Listen to discussions about movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Island of Terror, and King Kong. And don't forget convention coverage from Monster Bash and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. Classic Monsters, Modern Talk, and the Head of Rondo Hatton, only on Monster Kid Radio.
Hey everybody, I'm Paul Spataro. I don't know if you know me, but I'm a regular on Back to the Bins, along with my friends Dr. Bill Robinson.
Hello.
And Mr. Scott Gardner.
Hey, how's it going?
Andy's been asking us for a promo for the show for the longest time, and Bill has been writing it for the longest time. Bill, you got that promo written yet? Okay, so, anyway, what we do is we review three comic books. We try to do it every week. Usually it's a Marvel, a DC, and a Captain Canuck book for Scott. So, tune in every week to Back to the Bins to listen to our show. You can find us at twotruefreaks.com.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to cover feedback. That's the last time we did feedback was episode 48, which was the bombshells, DC bombshells, and Batman 66. And as you will remember, Cindy and I were very disappointed in the DC bombshell series.
Yes, so I wanted to like it so much.
Yes, the feedback will reflect that. And our first comment we got was, and these came from various places. They came from the Fire and Water webpage. They came from our Supermates blog.
Facebook.
They came from Facebook of Supermates and Fire and Water Network. And they also came from our email, which is supermatespodcast@gmail.com. So this is from, the first one's from our pal Siskoid here at the Fire and Water Podcast Network. And Siskoid wrote, "I like the designs and I like female-driven superhero comics, so I wish Bombshells had been better. Might still read it just based on my love of alternate realities. I mean, I liked Amikami Girls, so..." Well, you know, to each their own, Siskoid. You might like it. So it's just, you know, we're not saying, oh, go out and read this comic. It sucks. But, you know,
it does.
It's... Well, I'm not saying that. Cindy might be. So.
The first couple issues were okay. After that, oy.
Okay.
But anyway, I digress. Ryan Daly wrote in, "I've never heard the term diesel punk before, but I love it. Thanks for dropping that bit of knowledge on me." Well, we're here to serve.
Right. You know, it's funny because Jeff Nettleton responded back to Ryan, and he sent a similar email into our email. So he wrote, "Hello, Franklin folks. I've been listening to the new episode and must say, Bombshell sounds rather disappointing. I had to laugh when I heard the reference to diesel punk. Remember when that was called Pulp Fiction? I love the period, but we don't need a new subgenre for one that already exists. It sounds like a lot of the people involved need to read the Rocketeer Adventures. Those guys get it. I kind of get the feeling they want Agent Carter, but can't quite capture the feel. Hmm. Then again, you have something based on merchandising. This isn't always the best starting point, which is true. DC did better in the pages of Starman, the JSA revival, the multi-part All-Star, All-American, etc., and the JSA spinoff comics. Yeah, that Agent Carter, that's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that's... I think. Well, I guess maybe we did kind of say that. That was more the way to go. I can't remember. It's been too far back now, but yeah, that's more of a better approach. So.
Okay, and Shag goes on. He writes, "Thanks, Chris and Cindy. You saved me the heartbreak of reading DC Bombshells. I was planning to pick up the trade based upon my love of the covers and the statues. So disappointing that it didn't live up to its potential. Someone like Jeff Parker could have made a series like that so much fun." We agree. "Really enjoyed the recap of Batman 66. Definitely sounds like the perfect celebration and send-off. You crazy kids make for really engaging podcasting. Thank you. I'm also terribly jealous. I can't get my wife anywhere near the microphone, and she doesn't really share my geeky interest. You're both lucky to have found the other. Keep up the great work."
Well, thank you, Shag. Well, your wife lets you out of your house and come play with us and eat dinner, so we like her.
Yeah, so there you go.
Some guy named Rob Kelly wrote in and said, "Great episode, guys, and not just because I mentioned repeatedly."
Who is he?
Who's that guy?
I'm not sure.
"From what I saw of Bombshells, it didn't look too bad, but I'm leery of books where the main thrust of it seems to be the main characters are cheesecake. Sure, it's 40s-style cheesecake, my favorite kind, but still. Your review makes me think maybe I shouldn't bother, even with Mira appearing in current issues. Can't believe Batman 66 is canceled. I didn't think DC was allowed by law to cancel any Bat books. Oh well, in some parallel Earth, it's still being published, and Batman the Brave and the Bold is still on TV. Hell yeah." And then Rob writes, "What the hell was that final song?" He's referring to the Adam West, "I was walking along, minding my business" song. You know, that was from the, what's his name? The Hollywood Palace. Milton Berle. I can't think of Milton. I wanted to say Louis the Lilac. That's god awful. That's awful. I really do. My brain is just, I drove like, 14 hours yesterday. So my brain's just, but yeah, it was on the Milton Berle show. And Adam West was in costume as Batman doing several musical numbers. And Adam West wonders how he got typecast. Just saying.
Chris Carnes writes in, "Hello, folks. I stumbled on your podcast after Ryan Daly guested on the Batgirl to Oracle podcast, where I have a segment where I review the Batman 66 title. I love your show. Thank you. Great topics and content. I think I'm pretty close to you in age. Like yourselves, I think we have similar interests. Certain comic book artists and characters, horror movies, Hammer, toys, Star Trek, Wonder Woman, etc. Keep up the great work. I'm going through and listening to previous episodes now and wonder what you'll discuss in your next podcast."
Well, thank you, Chris. And Batgirl to Oracle is a great podcast that Stella produces and Chris is a part of. And I enjoy listening to that myself. And I've been catching up on that one myself at work because I got behind listening to that, partially because it was one of those weird things where iTunes, something about our network at work, like, doesn't like to let some shows come through. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's some kind of block or something. But anyway, I got all of a sudden, all these Batgirl to Oracle episodes came through finally. And I'm like, wow. So I'm way behind. So I'm making my way through too, Chris. So thanks for writing in. We got a comment from Zeb Oswalt. "Cool podcast as always, guys. Huh. Sad Bombshells was a meh comic. I have the Wonder Woman pin on one of my hats. Oh well, kind of like the Supergirl TV show sounds good. Then you watch it and oy."
Oh, I disagree.
Okay, well let me read it. "I'm calling it the Martian Manhunter and Alex Danvers show now, or John Jones and his amazing friends." I stole the Martian Manhunter and his amazing friends from someone. I forgot whom. They said it on the Fire and Water, I think.
Oh, I like Supergirl.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Well,
Flash is better.
It took a while for me to get used to the whole Supergirl's like working for the DEO and they're such a huge part of the show thing. But the pilot was really good, and then the first two or three episodes of the season were kind of clunky, and then it kind of found its legs, which, hopefully it's, I heard it was renewed and then I heard it wasn't renewed. So hopefully it'll be back. So I know I saw a thing the other night that said last two episodes of this season. So the fact that they said this season makes
rather
me,
than series.
The series makes me think that they're going to renew it. So let's hope so.
Okay. Anthony Durso writes in, I thought based on the look of the statues and collectibles that Bombshells was going to be a fun book from DC. And we don't get enough of those, quite frankly. We agree.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I was in for the first two issues. Ugh. I was unimpressed. Couldn't make heads or tails of the thing and was generally disgusted. So needless to say, I never made it to issue number three. Listening to your recaps makes me think that this would have been should have been done as a fifth week event, similar to Amalgam or Tangent. Unfortunately, it seems like they are trying too hard to name drop the entire DCU in a handful of issues without the thought and fun put behind the aforementioned events. Kind of hackish.
I agree more.
Yeah,
that the old fifth week event would have been nice, but I don't even know if they really do that. You know, they used to do that back in the day when comics would have a skip week, but they haven't done it in a long time as far as I know. Michael Bradley of the Superman and Batman podcast wrote, Chris and Cindy, I'm catching up on podcasts and I listened to episodes 48 and 49 today. I think you both hit the nail on the head about Bombshells. I've heard others say they really enjoy the book, but it just hasn't clicked for me. You're right, it should be big, brassy fun. I'm glad there are folks who enjoy it, but something with a tone closer to, not that movies are a one-to-one comparison with comics, but Dick Tracy or even The Rocketeer would be great, would suit me better, I think. Yeah, again, you know, we brought up The Rocketeer earlier, so yeah, any comic that's like that would be a welcome addition to the DC Comics lineup. I'd like to know what you guys think of the Ami Kami Girl series. Similar concept, different premise from a few years back if you read it. It wasn't perfect, but there were several Elseworlds-y fun and original ideas there. I really enjoyed it. Issues 51 and 75 are the only ones from the James Robinson Starman series that I've read, but I've enjoyed your coverage of that series so far. Keep up the good work on the show, and early congratulations on hitting the big 5-0. Well, thank you. Thank you, Michael. I haven't read Ami Kami, have you?
No.
I haven't read it. I know I remember when they, I think you've got, don't you have a figure or something from that?
I do.
Wonder Woman? Yeah, that's what I thought. But
And I've actually got the first two trades at the library, but I've just never checked them out.
You got to check them out and see. Mm. See, we can report back later, tell somebody what we thought. Moving on to episode 49, which was Starman Chronicles Part 4.
Jeff Nettleton writes in, love this storyline. I was a fan of the book from issue zero and loved how it was developing. The times past stories and talking with David were really tripping my reader switches. But this storyline turned the book into a classic for me. It raised the stakes, put Jack through an ordeal that would move him firmly into the role of superhero, and set the stage for the future. You couldn't wait for Nash and Jack to meet again because you knew it was going to be epic.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, it's this is kind of, I agree, this is where the series kind of really takes off. And it really doesn't slow down. I mean, there are a couple little quiet moments here and there, but I mean, that just give you a breather, but it's moving full throttle after this storyline. Some guy named Shag wrote in.
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. Joke's getting old. He wrote, love this episode so much. I don't have a lot of blow by blow, but just wanted to say these episodes make me giddy with excitement. I fell in love with this comic when issue zero was released and was there for every issue. I bought all the spinoffs and crossovers. Chris, did you ever get a copy of the first Shade miniseries? No, I don't have a copy of it, and I need to. And own the first two soft cover omnibus. Omnibuses? I don't know. The sad part is that I haven't reread it since original publication, so walking through the issues with you both has been a real treat. Keep up the great work. Really, really enjoying these episodes.
Yay!
Well, thank you. No, I have not got... I read the Shade miniseries in my comic shop clerk days, but I didn't buy it, so I really need to get that before we, you know, get to that point, which we're actually coming up on it pretty close. So,
okay,
we gotta fill in all the blanks.
Paul Hicks writes in, love the episode and so glad someone is focusing on this great series in an intelligent way. The hardcover collections completely bundle up all the extraneous materials such as the annuals, showcase issues, Shade Mini, Batman, Hellboy, Starman, Secret Files, odd JSA short stories, etc. So far, they've only released two soft covers of the six hard covers, but it looks like DC are getting back on track with releasing three onward in July. Volume 3 includes the Shade Mini, roughly where it occurred in the context of the ongoing title. There is extensive back matter and essays by Robinson and Harris included in them, so they're well worth it, even if you have the issues. I've triple-dipped and bought Starman and related materials in issues, trade, and hardcover collections as each has been released. I've since passed the trades on to my buddy Moby, but I can never get rid of the issues due to autographs and letters of mine included.
Yeah, that's a good to know, because maybe the Shade miniseries will... Maybe I should just buy Volume 3 and get it that way.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I'm one of those that don't tend to buy a trade of something that I have normally unless it's got a lot of bonus material.
Extra material, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, with Starman, especially since we're covering it on the podcast, it probably would be worth it. So, Zeb Oswald wrote again, cool podcast as always. Wouldn't Starman have woken up with tired legs? Seems like an interesting build-up to where the comic goes. Sadly, out of Starman, we never saw the New Mist as a villain. I wonder if this was part of Robinson's bit with DC where they don't use the character save when he writes him. It would be cool to see this version of the Mist on the Alex Danvers and Martian Manhunter show. Oh, wait, some people call it Supergirl. Man, Zeb really doesn't like that show. With a more appropriate costume. As well as how y'all said the possibility of Stargirl being on the show. Yeah, that's true. It would be cool to see the Mist show up, but I bet you she is something to do with Robinson's deal where they don't use
primary characters.
The characters, yeah, unless he does it, yeah. So, Lucy and Desar just wrote in and said, Starman rocks! So, yes, he does. There you go.
Okay. Episode 50, JLA, The Nail.
We got a lot of feedback on this, and one reason being, lucky us. The very day that we released episode 50, which, of course, had Rob and Ryan as guests, it was also the day that the Fire and Water, all of the shows on the Fire and Water Network became part of the initial Fire and Water feed. So everybody subscribed to Fire and Water
got
that
episode.
So we were literally like the old AOL disc that was like in everybody's mailbox. You know, some people are like, I don't want this damn thing, and throw it in the trash. Some people are putting it under the... I've got a table with a leg that's shorter than the others and sticking it under that. But
hopefully, most people listened to us and thought, hey, I'm going to give them a listen on their show.
Yeah, well, hopefully. We got a lot of feedback, so I guess it did. But.
Okay, Ryan Daly wrote in. He said, ha ha! I just scanned the image gallery post for this episode. The final image of Superman with the Amish beard and hat floored me. Well done, Chris.
Well, that was for you, Ryan. And that was actual authentic Alan Davis artwork. I just took the hat and beard from another Superman image and put it on the Superman at the end there. So, there you go. That was for you. Rob wrote in, who was also a guest on that episode. It's funny that two guests wrote in before anybody else. I should probably refrain from commenting on this episode since I'm on it, but best Supermates ever. Only complaint, needed more Cindy. I understand she had a long day at work, but that's what sick days are for. She needed to rest for the main event at night, recording the podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah, you weren't your usual, I mean, you come in with the whole Jimmy Olsen thing at the end, but yeah, you weren't as vocal in that one.
Okay. Lewis writes in to say, as a fan of the Silver Age breed of Green Lantern, I've gotten fed up with Kyle Rayner's One Horse Town, and both Nail minis remedied that with their portrayals of the Corman and Hal Jordan. If Neron gave me the talent to draw, but only in mimicry of one artist, I'd choose Alan Davis. As a kid, I stumbled across his work on Batman Year 2 and Uncanny X-Men 213. And as an adult, I sought his work on back issues of Excalibur and was proud to have his cover art on my JSA issues.
There you go. Yeah, I agree. Alan Davis is one of the best artists that's like a synthesis of the best of many other artists. That his presentation's very unique, you know. But you can kind of see the influences, but it's not like he's aping completely. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason why I like him so much. Martin Gray wrote in and said, great episode. You guys nailed it. Ha, pun. With the highlight being Logic Glass's takedown of Jimmy Olsen, which Martin's the person that named you Logic Glass. So.
Oh, there you go.
I love the Nail books and look forward to the sequel in episode 100. Speaking of numbers, happy anniversary. How about Generations for number 75? Well, if you want to hear about Superman Batman Generations, Gene Hendricks and Michael Bailey just covered that over on Gene's show on the Hammer podcast. And they did, yeah, that's one of Andrew's favorite books, and they did a fantastic job on it. So go check that out. So they did such a good job on it, we'll probably just leave that one alone for a while. But
okay. Bradley Null wrote in, four of my favorite podcasters talking about my favorite Elseworlds. I even pulled out the books to read along. This series does an excellent job of comics quickhand to let you know what the history of this world was. I remember thinking this book gave the fans of the time what was the dark version of what DC fans in the 90s kept asking for. No Superman, Barry as Flash, Hal as Green Lantern, Batman with no Robin. I love the dark twist it put on those things.
Good point. Yeah, that's true. That was kind of, yeah, bring back our characters, and but, you know, within the modern setting. Jeff Nettleton wrote, I love this mini. In the deepest, darkest morass that was the 90s, this was a nice throwback to comics that I loved while presenting edgier storytelling. The 90s was a rough decade for me and mainstream superhero comics, and stuff like this pulled me back in. It paid homage to the past, but it wasn't mired in it. Very well said.
Okay. Shag wrote in to say, such a fantastic episode. Loved it from beginning to end. Though I think you could have squeezed in a few more accolades for Alan Davis. Not sure if you really conveyed if you like his stuff. I remember buying this comic off the stands and loving it. And yes, Alan Davis's clean artwork contrasts with the gruesome acts in strange ways. It works, but makes the violence that much more unsettling. Congratulations on the anniversary episode. Great job by everyone involved.
Yeah, thank you, Shag. Chuck Coletta wrote in and said, FYI, Alan Davis will be making his only 2016 Comic-Con appearance in the USA at Motor City Comic-Con, Detroit, in May. That would be awesome. That would, you know, I would love to meet Alan Davis and get him to sign my nail comics. And we went to Motor City years ago.
Oh, yeah, I think before kids.
Yeah, it was before kids. Yeah, we were back in my semi-comic pro days when I got to go back to the complimentary room and eat chili with Commander Riker and Lando Calrissian. And think, why am I back here? But anyway.
Sphinx Magoo writes in to say, just as an aside on Alan Davis's artwork, I've been a fan of his for years. Living in New York City, I was lucky enough to have found his Captain Britain work, where he drew and wrote Cap's Adventures. This was after the stories written by Alan Moore, and they were refreshing and exciting. His Neil Adams influence was really evident, but without Adams, sometimes awkward panel layout or figure poses. One thing I remember about Davis's artwork on the nail was how his Hal Jordan's hair looked exactly like Hal's hair from the famous Neil Adams run. The brushwork was such an excellent match that it left me really surprised.
That's true. That's definitely Neil Adams' Hal hair. But, you know, hey, if you're going to copy somebody, why not copy Neil Adams? FKA Jason wrote in, this was the first episode of Supermates I've listened to. Great topic, great guest, great discussion, great music. Think I'll listen to some more. Great!
There you go.
Please listen to some more. See, it worked. The AOL thing worked.
There you go. Von Z wrote in, Crypto and I are on a walk listening to this episode of Supermates. And he goes on, I remembered this cover when I was listening. The only time I can remember Jimmy being a Red Devil. Such a fun book and great episode. Thanks for covering.
Yeah, that was the issue he was talking about, was Jimmy Olsen number 95, 80-page giant issue. It shows all these different disguises that Jimmy had, and it shows his disguise kit, and he's putting on a Red Devil costume with Superman standing there with him. Mm. So that must be where they got it from. Because I remember saying, does anybody remember him being Red Devil?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And nobody did, so there you go. So thanks, Man Z. You know, yeah, Al's always good with the dropping the Superman knowledge. Yeah. Zeb Oswalt wrote in, hi, guys. Cool podcast as always. This was a great comic. I'm glad Alan Davis wrote and drew it. I remember him writing and drawing Excalibur when he came back to the book. On his second run. It was more comedy-based, but it was a good comic. So what happened to Supergirl? I don't think she showed up in another nail. Was glad they had Supes and Bats as friend in this after Supes gets there. I remember Alan Davis having a brief run on Avengers before writing and drawing Killraven. Yeah, I think he pretty much went... I mean, after this, he went to Avengers, took over from George Perez for a while. He's pretty much stayed at Marvel, which is great for Marvel, but bad for DC. So, moving on, we had episode number 51, which was our last episode where we covered the animated Batman Superman movie, World's Finest.
Okay, Rob wrote in, Chris quoting Kanye West, "Now I've heard everything." More comments later.
And he continued and said, "This was a great series of episodes. The team-up works, with each character getting their moments. Plus, the story beats are plausible, so neither character feels like an intruder. Plus, the gags are terrific. Great episode as always. I forgot I missed how much I enjoy Cindy slapping Chris for his linguistic indiscretions. Something sadly missing from the show I guessed it on." I think you hit me once during the nail episode.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you did.
You know. It's just what I do.
Yeah,
I do it with love.
Yeah.
Jeff Nettleton wrote in, "Loved this when it was broadcast. Still do. It was an excellent crossover and a nice intro to a shared universe. Of course, anything with a flying wing is automatically cool, especially when it's painted like a giant smile. My favorite part is Mercy and Harley fighting in the background while Joker and Lex are arguing. It's just a beautifully crafted scene. I still cling to my day when Bruce and Clark were friends, called each other by their true names, and acted like adults. Us two.
Yes.
This puts them at odds, but lets them get past it, more so than the comics of the same era. The Bruce-Lois romance was a bit surprising, but well done. I never really considered the money aspect until you guys went off on a very funny riff. This was a really fun episode. It was just awesome to hear the family repartee. It's nice to hear a family have fun together."
Yeah, well, you know, we just talked about family having fun together for the first part of this, so. And we were talking again, so there you go. Ryan Daly wrote in, "This story stands as probably my favorite Superman-Batman story from any media. These three episodes made me a fan of the World's Finest Partnership at a time when I didn't see any reason why they'd be civil to each other. I just love this story, and I wish Warner Brothers had chosen to adapt this to the big screen instead of whatever the hell spawned Batman v Superman."
Preach!
"Great work, Chris, Cindy, and Andrew." Yeah, well, as most people who are listening to this know, we said our piece on Batman v Superman with Ryan, Rob, Shag, and Siskoid over on the All-Star, you know, Fire and Water All-Star Review episode covering that. So we won't beat that dead horse because more than likely Batman already killed it.
Yeah, it's already Alpo for the dogs. Okay, Paul Hikes writes in, "I listened to this episode after seeing Batman versus Superman, and oh, how I wept." Us too, honey, us too.
Yeah. Clinton wrote in and said, "Wonderful episode and tons of fun. Sad to say this was my first experience with Supermates. Won't be my last, though."
Good
well, that's not sad at all. We're glad you listened, and please enjoy more.
Shag writes in to say, "Such a great episode. I'd forgotten how much I love this animated film. Thank you for including the clips. Your enthusiasm for this story was infectious. Also, great to hear Andrew on the show. He brings a fun perspective to the stories. Keep up the great work."
Well, there you go. So, see, Andrew's a big fan of Shag, and Shag's a big fan of Andrew. So
it's a mutual admiration society.
Yeah, that's right. Nathaniel Wayne, who likes to put 90s comics on trial, comment on our 90s animated movie here. "As a general animation fan, probably above all my other fandoms, this was a fun time for me. It took me a while to actually see the movie just because of how badly I loathe the Joker redesign, and he and Lex teaming up was a bigger draw for me than Batman and Superman, so him looking that bad was a serious turnoff for a while. I had to keep reminding myself that you hadn't seen BVS DOJ. I pronounce it Beavis Beavis Dooge."
What?
Donna Just, you know, Donna Just,
oh,
Beavis.
Gotcha. Beavis.
Damn it, Beavis. At the time you recorded this. If you had, I think all that ragging on current comics would have been about that instead. Although it's nice to find another human being who doesn't think Snyder's run on Batman is the end-all be-all. I will never not be mad over the immortal Joker. Thank you, Nathaniel. I appreciate you supporting me in that, and I will never say that I almost said Zack Snyder. I'll say Zack Snyder's not a good writer. I will never say that Scott Snyder is not a good writer and that his books aren't well written. I just feel like both him and Grant Morrison have taken Batman to a place that nobody's ever going to get him back from unless they totally just wipe everything out.
Mm.
And I just, they to me, they, you know, it's like they took a toy and, like, you know, grafted, you know, it's almost like Sid from Toy Story, you know, they put all this stuff on an other toy and said, here's a, baby doll with a spider head. Now try to play with this. You know, it's not the same toy anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my opinion. And I know the Leylands love the Scott Snyder run, and a lot of people love it, but it's not my cup of tea. So.
Okay. Zeb Oswalt wrote in, cool podcast as always, guys. Yep, they always had a few adult gags in the cartoon. They were pretty cool. The Supes being treated as a smart thing started in Loeb's run on Superman Batman comic, I think, where they finally realized, oh yeah, a reporter would be smart. The cartoon was pretty fun. I watched it at home when on break from college way back when. The heels thing was just a gag thing. Joker was always changing his clothes for those. Yeah, Mercy was always treated as an employee and not very well by Lex, but it pays off when she takes over LexCorp.
Yeah, that's true. In the, you know, comics, I mean, on the animated series, she's in charge of LexCorp later on Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, well, thanks everybody for writing in, and, you know, we appreciate all the feedback. And if you are a new listener, because of us joining the Fire and Water Podcast Network, we're glad to have you. If you've been with us from episode one, if you've just been with us since last episode, you know, we want to hear from you. Send us your email, drop a comment on the Fire and Water Podcast Network site. And I've actually uploaded some of the older episodes to the Fire and Water Network site now. I'm slowly doing that. I think I uploaded through the Starman episode before. I think that's where I left off right before.
Are you backloading?
Yeah, they're appearing, like, if they'll appear if you're subscribed to the Fire and Water Network feed, that's all the shows, they'll appear in that. They're already in the Supermates feed because that's, you know, a separate feed, but they'll appear in the Fire and Water Network feed in the order that they were released. So you'll just, you know, you'll find, if you go scroll down through, you'll find some episodes pop up. So if you've seen those pop up, that's why. I've been putting them on that website, and eventually all of them will be migrated over there.
Mm-hmm.
Migrate over there, so we're all in one place. So that's the plan. Just got back from vacation. I have no idea what we're going to do next time.
Yeah.
So we got to get our head back on straight and get back to work and all that type of stuff.
Nah.
So yeah, but we'll have something fun for you. So thanks for coming over to look at our, you know, our slides from our vacation, and, you know, hope we didn't bore you to death, and you know, grab you some cocktail weenies as you walk out, and have a good night.
Night.
Supermates is a Franklin and Franken production in association with Bugaloo Enterprises Worldwide. It is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. The characters and properties mentioned in this show are copyright their respective holders. Likewise, all audio clips are copyright their holders, and no infringement is implied. So please don't sue my mommy and daddy. Emails can be sent to supermatespodcast@gmail.com.
Comments can be left at supermatescomic.blogspot.com or by visiting fireandwaterpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook by searching for Supermates and FW Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter by using the hashtag FW Podcast.
Please consider leaving a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening to Supermates, the husband and wife geek cast.
Oh, wait. Remember Disney World? Hall of Presidents? Yeah, good. What did he say? Welcome to the Hall of Presidents.